Yeah, the battery went dead on that phone. That's what I get for trying to use a landline. I hadn't used one for so long.
You got to put it in the charger when you're not using it.
Well, I don't know if anybody's ever... I mean, it's been just laying there for God knows how long, so maybe it must not have been hit right or something.
Are you going to hit any of the performances next week?
Yeah, I'll start out with Friday for sure, and then I got to go to Denver for 2 days, and then I'll be up most of them after Saturday and Sunday.
I'm sure one of those is going to be Jason Derulo, right?
No, we're talking rodeos.
Oh.
Not taking any of the night shows in?
I'm going to try to see some of Sawyer Brown, but, you know, those last so dang late at night for old people. When you get up at 4 in the morning every morning, that's a tough one.
Take a nap during the afternoon. That's what I do.
Well, the rodeo's there.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm not on a radio show that I can do that because I have people to carry the load for me.
I thought, like JJ said, maybe Flo Rida and Jason Derulo would be right up your alley.
You know, I think my grandson Scout is really in. Seriously, that's like the one he really wants to see, so he probably will.
That would be the show right there, getting a different demographic into some of these night shows.
You know, they've done that every year for quite a while now. It's, mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea to kind of try to bring some people in and, you know, get them exposed to what goes on here. Who knows? They may actually like it at some point.
I liked it when they brought in the Beach Boys, but, you know.
He has no other group or band to fall back on other than the Beach Boys.
I remember when, wasn't it Michael, when the Bonanza guys were here and Adam Cartwright fell off the, not Adam Cartwright, Lauren Green fell off his horse drunk.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
How about that?
I told, we were talking the other day at the Partners in Prosperity, I said, they were asking me what was the first night show I ever remember. I said, I think it was the one where they had Doc and Festus and the guys from Gunsmoke, James Arness was here.
You know, one of the best ever was actually Roy Clark, because it was a huge storm that night, and so they couldn't put on the electricity. And he said, you know what, if you people will sit here, we'll do an acoustical.
How about
and he
that?
He sat there and played for over an hour in the rain, just for the crowd. It was really neat.
Now, that would be pretty cool, I think, to improvise a little bit better, a little bit right there. Tracy, the Rockies, not off to the greatest of starts on the road at New York, losing 2 of 3. They did get the win yesterday, but, you know, just the bumps in the road. I guess I was more surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be because he hadn't had many starts at the way John Gray pitched on Friday, though.
Yeah, I think he was, too. You know, I think he pitched well enough when he'd come back, and they kept him fairly close to, you know, didn't have him sit too long. I think he probably was the most surprised guy at all, and that's good because that'll maybe get, you know, will force him to pay, maybe focus a little bit more. I think when you're young, a lot of times you do well and you start to feel like everything's okay. And I don't just say that about athletes. I say that about life in general, right? And as you get older, you start to understand that you have to continue to push yourself at all times to stay ahead of the game. And that's, you know, that's part of the learning curve. That goes back, I think I've said it before, the late Hal Keller used to say, I can't tell you if they're any good until I see them be bad. I have to see how they deal with being bad before I can tell you if they're going to be good, because they're all going to be bad at some point.
Now, did Chatwood, did he, I mean, I'm beginning to get the understanding that Chatwood knew that he wasn't totally right before he started in Saturday's game and didn't even get out of the first inning. He said, I'm okay, I can go, and then wasn't okay.
Yeah, he aggravated it in the bullpen, loosening up. And, you know, that gets back to the warrior. You know, you want a guy that, you want the blood and guts, you know, you want the guy that's going to go out there and he's going to battle his way through any situation. But you also have to have a guy that is going to be a warrior but has the logic to understand that if you physically aren't capable of doing your job, you're not helping anybody by going out there. You know, right now with the way they're working their rotation, they have an extra body. You know, they can get somebody up here. I mean, Freeland would have been on normal rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, it's those are those things where you know you hear them say, "Well, I want this guy that's gonna go out there no matter what." But when no matter what means they're incapable of performing, then I don't know that. Then I think they have to learn to temper that. That no one's going to consider them to be a lesser person because they physically were unable to compete.
I see Carlos Gonzalez out of the lineup tonight on the bench. What can you kind of pinpoint what's going on with him with his swing offensively? Because he has just been not right all year. Do they have an idea of what's going on?
Not really, because they see flash. I mean, they see the swing pattern's not that far off. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I really don't. I mean, as relaxed as he is as a person, I can't see him being that uptight about pending free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not trying to hide from the struggle he's been through. He's very open and frank in his discussions of it. And he hasn't like gone into hibernation or denial. So I mean, it's not like he's trying to pretend that everything's okay, and it's not like he's off in a corner and he's shut the rest of the world out. So I mean, I think he's trying to deal with it and stay the person that he is. What's causing it? I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody knows, and it makes it easier for the Rockies to deal with it because you have Parra and you have Tapia playing the way they're playing. Obviously, you'd like to have the real Carlos Gonzalez back, but you know those other two guys have more than offset. Plus, you have Desmond to put out there. So, I mean, you've got some guys that have shown that they deserve an opportunity to play. So it's not like you're having to play Descalso in the outfield or something.
How does his performance this year affect that impending free agency that's coming up?
You have to ask Scott Boras.
Okay.
Last time he signed with the Rockies, Boris Sweat threatened to sue his father. So.
Right, I remember all that.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's, you know, I mean, I think it probably affects the Rockies' interest more than it does anything else, particularly when they're starting to see. I mean, you know, everybody who is surprised about Tapia, he was ranked the fourth best prospect in their organization coming into this season. Now, that didn't mean everybody felt that he was physically you're going to be a total player when he got here, but as far as tools and ability, you know, he was pretty thought of. And I think Parra's playing this year. Last year was more of a surprise with Parra than this year. You know, I mean, he's been a very good player, and he's a very good defensive player. So, you know, when you have those kind of options and you have some kids coming along behind him, and you see Cargo struggling, if I'm the organization, that's going to be one area where I have to take a step back and say, you know, I love the guy. He's a great guy. He's been a good soldier here. He signed that other contract. And at that point, he said, you know, look, I'm going to be 31, 32 when this contract runs out. I have now taken care of myself. The next contract, we can go and see what the biggest contract is. But, you know, his thought process was he liked the Rockies, he liked Colorado, and he didn't have to get top dollar because he knew that that package that he signed for like $80 million was going to take care of him for the rest of his life, no matter what happened.
I think we talked about this last week, but Parra's return is, I think, really given the offense a spark. Yesterday he comes in and gets knocked around at first base, hyperextends his throwing arm, still, you know, went over and worked it out and you know, went back out and played the rest of the game yesterday, and I think he's just the kind of guy that really gives him a spark on the offensive side of the operation.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think his personality is that way too. I mean, he's another guy. Even last year, when he was getting beat up all the time, you know, in the media or by the fans, he never strayed from who he was as a person, and I think that's always something that you look at when you're around an athlete. Is, you know, bad times come, how are you going to deal with it? And, you know, it's fun this year because of the type of person he is to see it come back. But I also remember watching a game on TV with him earlier when they were really scuffling. And he was scuffling at that point. And he was trying to get the fans up cheering. You know, it was one of those things. He wasn't just sitting there feeling sorry for himself. He didn't really care. He wanted to win. And it wasn't about what he did. It was about, hey, what can we do to help the team win? And that, you know, I think those are good things to see.
Tracy, at this point, I mean, the Dodgers just really running away with the West. I mean, do you see, obviously anything can happen at any time, and we've seen things like that happen, but, I mean, do you see any weaknesses, chinks in the armor for this Dodgers club as the second half, you know, has just begun?
Well, I think they have some age and history of injuries in the rotation.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's got to be a thing you think you look at. But you know, the biggest thing is right now with the Rockies is, and I say this all the time, is they got to win. They need to win tonight. You know, there's not a lot other than seven times. There's nothing they can do about the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't worry about them. And if they wind up going in as a wild card instead of winning the division, so be it. You know, I mean, but I think as fans, we tend to start trying to map out strategies. But the bottom line is, one, it doesn't matter what the Dodgers do if the Rockies don't win. And two, there's only seven games where the Rockies can make sure the Dodgers lose. So your focus is on what do I have to do to be better and just see if the other things come with it.
You always put it in perspective, Tracy, and we appreciate that as well. And I'm sure, you know, hopefully we'll see you out there maybe this, you know, next week for some rodeo, all right?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Trace.
Okay, guys.
See you, Trace.
All right, Tracy Ring.